Hi, I'm Rob Pritchard and I'm the sports editor at Manx Radio. The recent end to the 2025 cycling season also marked the end of a stellar career for one of the Isle of Man's top riders. Lizzie Holden recently announced that she was taking the decision to step away from the sport. The Island athlete is one of multiple examples in recent years to take her abilities from the grassroots level on Manx shores right to the top tier of women's cycling. The journey has seen her take a British national title, compete regularly on the Women's World Tour, and take part in the Commonwealth Games, just to mention a few accolades. Now, with a chance to reflect on this adventure, I've been speaking with Lizzie to find out what her best memories have been in the sport, her decision to retire, and also how it feels to be adjusting to a new chapter.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Like I said, I think it will take a bit of time to adapt, but yeah, this year and also last year was pretty difficult for me, and I think it has been on my mind a bit, like, to bring my career to an end. But I think, like, until it actually happens, it doesn't really feel real. Even my last race in China, which I had a really bad accident before that, and I really wanted to come back so I could finish on a better note than being in hospital. But I think even during that race, I was like, oh, okay, like, it's my last race, but it doesn't really feel like it. And yeah, now settling back into normal life, it's starting to sink in, and I think now I can, like, take time and appreciate what I have done, because yeah, I don't think I was ever, like, the most confident person, like, talking about myself. I'm not very good at that, but, like, now looking back, I think, yeah, I can appreciate what I've done.
Just a little bit off what you've said there, I mean, I suppose one of the key questions is what is the main reason or reasons behind thinking that now's the right time, I guess, to be stepping away from the sport?
Yeah, I think, like I said, like, I had a difficult year last year with Epstein-Barr glandular fever, and that took a really long time to come back from. And yeah, I think just mentally the toll of coming back from that, and then the start of this year I had a crash where I fractured my coccyx bone, and that took a long time. And I think just racing in general is, like, the standard has increased so much and we're going so much faster, the risk is higher. And I think, yeah, I just noticed, like, this year especially, like, I was more scared in general, like, I didn't want to take as much risk anymore. And yeah, obviously you can't be at the highest level if you're not willing to take those risks. So yeah, it was just more that, like, I still love riding my bike, but racing, yeah, mentally I'm not at the highest level anymore, and it's, yeah, hard to do that if you're not there.
That being said, though, I mean, you know better than anyone else what level you feel you're at and what the, you know, particularly the top level in the Women's World Tour is like. But, you know, you like several other Manx riders over the years, have been competing at that top level for some time as well. I mean, away from the challenges just for a moment as well, what are the biggest things that you've enjoyed from your cycling career, and particularly at the top level over the years?
Oh, I mean, being a professional athlete comes with a lot of highs. Obviously, it's challenging. Even though at the time maybe you don't feel like it's a job, it is a full-time commitment. You know, it's not just the training, it's the recovery, it's a whole lifestyle. But, like, the thing I enjoyed most was, and maybe at the time I didn't appreciate it, but, like, the places that I got to go and the people that I met along the way, it's, like, incredible the amount of things I've done and places I've been. So yeah, that I think is really cool, and something now that, again, I'm looking back on and being like, wow, I was very lucky to be able to do that.
And maybe just as a bit of insight for maybe those who don't understand cycling the way you do as well, in terms of each season, just how relentless is that schedule?
Yeah, it's pretty tough. And even just the last 5 years, the growth that I've seen is crazy. Like, I think when I first started, a cycling season generally started maybe end of March, early April, and you would finish maybe mid-September. Whereas now we're starting racing January in Australia, and it goes all the way to the last race I just did in China, which finished the 19th of October. So, like, it's a really long season, and you get maybe 3 weeks in the year where you have, like, no team commitments, nothing, because already now teams are starting training camps. They do all, like, the health checks and everything at the end of the year. So yeah, it's full on, and just the amount of racing in general has increased so much, which I think more the mental toll of, like, yeah, going to a race, getting in that zone, you come home for maybe a week and then you go back and do it again. So it's challenging.
And a couple of things you mentioned before, like you say, you did you were diagnosed with Epstein-Barr, and then you did have a couple of crashes. I mean, particularly as you've already alluded to, that one toward the end of the season, which resulted in some pretty nasty injuries for yourself. When you find yourselves in those situations, what did that teach you about yourself and your resilience maybe to come back from setbacks of that nature?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, even when I was still in the hospital during this last crash, like, I was in ICU for 5 days. And I remember the first day, I was like, I have maybe 6 weeks or 5 weeks until China. Like, I think I can come back. And, like, to even be in that headspace then, I think it's pretty crazy, I think, from someone who's not a professional athlete perspective. But I think having that goal in mind really helped me recover a lot faster than maybe you normally would. Now I'm looking for other opportunities and what I want to do in the future, and I think those like qualities that I had as an athlete will really help me in the future.
And looking back on the complete opposite side of that, I mean, I'm sure you know there have been many memorable moments as well for all the right reasons. I mean, quite generally, I guess, you know, what have been the biggest highlights do you feel of your professional cycling career?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I think like most of my career, I was generally helping my teammates or someone else, but like the opportunities I had to ride for myself in the Commonwealth Games, even just to represent the Isle of Man there, was like, it's incredibly special. And then obviously the TT champs in 23, that was, yeah, like I said, I was never really the most confident person. And even crossing the finish line, I was like, did I really just win? Or I'm not sure, like that took thinking. So yeah, I think just, and I mean, one highlight actually was being a part of when the Women's Tour de France started. Obviously, there was additions in the past, but to come back as a 7-day stage race, that to be a part of that was like incredible. And like just seeing the growth in women's cycling is amazing. And I think, yeah, it will continue to grow.
That brings me on nicely to my next question. It was going to be on the women's cycling scene in general. You mentioned the Tour de France Femme, and that, you know, a landmark really to be seeing that, you know, coming back and now being a regular feature throughout the season. You also touched on before the fact that the season has grown in your time as a professional cyclist as well. What do you think that says about the growth of the women's cycling scene in general, that you're having bigger seasons, far more events and far more opportunities for the likes of yourself and other female riders?
I think it's really good. I mean, maybe you could argue that it's potentially too much too soon, but in general, it's really good. And there's a lot more opportunity for more riders. And even in general, there is just so many more professional athletes. And the level in general is so high. Like some races that I did in my first year as professional, I guess, in 2017, some of the races would have 60 people maybe on the start line. And now it's like, the max is maybe 160. And like, yeah, it's crazy. I think the opportunity in general, like now also that the fact that you can have a living wage as a professional cyclist will change a lot. And I guess that's why the level has changed so much, as you can do it as a full-time athlete and not have a second-time job, which I think used to be very common.
Before you turned professional as well, there was a journey beforehand as well, which you started on the Isle of Man. What are your earliest memories of starting out in cycling on the Isle of Man and starting that particular journey?
I think my first memories would be the Tuesday night. Like I started not super early, but age 13, I think it was, and going down to Tuesday nights and just finding like a really nice friendship group there. Like the atmosphere there is incredible if you haven't experienced it, like just all the children having fun. And I think that was the most important thing for me, like having fun in sport and keeping that there for a very long time, and going away with trips with Dot. I think they will be like some of the best memories that I'll keep forever.
Like you say, from the age you started, you said you found that sense of, you know, community and friendship within the groups that you met as well. When did you first sort of realize, I guess, that you thought, actually, I've got the potential here, I've got the quality to keep progressing, this is what I want to do?
Honestly, probably not for a long time. I think I just, like I said before, like I just kept enjoying it. I always wanted more. Like the races that we went to with Dot up until junior, maybe. Then I guess from there, I started to, you know, see teams in the UK. Okay, I want to be a part of that. And then maybe if I progress from there, it can go somewhere else. But also, like I said before, like women's cycling has evolved so much. I think maybe back then there was not so many teams to look up to be like, okay, there's a pathway there, maybe. Whereas now I think teams are even looking at riders age like 16, 17, and they're going directly to the World Tour. So yeah, for me, I guess maybe around 16, I was like, okay, maybe this could be like something serious. But I don't think I ever really thought I could have a career out of it until, yeah, I was in it.
You've mentioned a name in there, Dot Tilbury as well, who's, as you know, synonymous with cycling on the Isle of Man over so many years now in the Tuesday night sessions. And you look at some of the names, including yourself, that have come through the ranks of that to go on and achieve great things as well. I remember speaking to you and the Isle of Man women's team at the Commonwealth Games after the race it was in Warwick, but at the Birmingham Games. And a couple of you mentioned the fact that, and I did ask you about the development of, you know, women's cycling and generally on the Isle of Man. And I think a couple of you said about the importance of Dot Tilbury's sessions and keeping that going as well. How lucky do you feel the Isle of Man is that for those who want to progress in cycling, we have the likes of the Tuesday night sessions for people who, whether it's a social thing or whether they do want to achieve bigger things?
I think those like grassroots elements are so important. And I think one thing that Dot did really well is like, maybe not everyone felt it, but I felt like as a female, you were never really like excluded. Like everyone was equal. There was no like barriers to start that Tuesday night cycling. And I think the environment that Dot has created there is like really unique and very important for, I think, for just getting people involved in this. Like, it doesn't have to be serious. You can be as serious or just have fun. It's really up to you. But having that platform is super important.
And you look at some of the women's competitors that come from the Isle of Man, yourself included. We've got Becky Story, who's still on the Women's World Tour, and then Anna Christian and Amelia Sharp previously, to name just two. So how good is it overall to be seeing that, you know, there are individuals who can make it to that top level and that can represent the Isle of Man and show what you as individual athletes and the Isle of Man is capable of achieving?
I think that's really important. Like, I always looked up to Anna when I was younger, and just having her there as a role model helped me a lot. And then I became really good friends with her, and that again helped me more. So yeah, I hope also that the likes of myself and Amelia, Anna and Becky can inspire like the next generation. I know already now that there's a lot more females coming up, so that's also really good to see.
Looking ahead then, of course, even though you've, I suppose, closed that chapter, if you like, on the professional racing, the cycling side of things, of course, plenty still ahead. So quite generally, have you got any immediate plans with what you want to do?
Nothing immediately, which is, it's quite daunting. Like now I'm kind of missing that routine, I guess, of, what to do day to day. But I'm just kind of exploring what I want to do. I have some general ideas, but yeah, nothing concrete.
And it must be quite unusual, I guess, after however many years of being on this intense and relentless at times schedule in pro cycling, to have a bit of time to yourself at the moment. How have you found settling into a different rhythm at the moment?
Yeah, like I said, it's been weird and hard. Like, I'm also trying to remind myself to like enjoy this time, I guess, because I don't know what I'll do next, but I'm sure it won't be long until I find something. So I'm just really taking the time to enjoy this kind of relaxed schedule, I guess, without having like anyone else to answer to for the moment.
And just very finally, with regards to your pro career, I mean, is there anyone in particular that you're particularly grateful towards over the course of your career that has really helped you along the way, that has helped you to some of the successes and real highlights that you've had and that have made it all, you know, worthwhile in your eyes?
Oh, I think there's so many people. Like, I probably wouldn't have time to go through everyone, but I guess, like I said, Dot Tilbury, my parents, I don't think I would have, definitely wouldn't have been able to do it without them. Then there's people like Andrew Roach, Bikes to Isle of Man, like there's so many people. And even like I mentioned Anna Christian before, like she's been a really big role model to me and helped me a lot throughout my career.
Thank you for having the stamina to make it to the end of the Manx Radio Sportscast. You're clearly someone who has their eye on the ball at all times. Want to hear more about the latest sporting news across the Isle of Man and much more? Then might I recommend you take the plunge and subscribe to this series or a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so that, in a flash, all of our finest moments take a winner's place on your smartphone. Thank you.